You're listening to The Pulse. I'm Mike and Scott. How many times did you hear this line during the election season? I don't like either candidate. But people feel like they have to pick one or the other because otherwise they would be throwing their vote away or end up supporting the candidate they like the least. This is why so many people are hesitant to vote for third-party candidates. One solution being used in a couple of cities is called ranked choice voting. Andrew Stelzer reports.
This is what ranked choice voting can sound like. Listen to Oakland, California City Council member Rebecca Kaplan kicking off her mayoral campaign in 2014.
If anybody out there is a supporter of one of the other candidates, my message to them is not that they're wrong. If anybody out there is a supporter of any of the other candidates, then I will respectfully ask that they vote for me as their second choice for mayor.
Did that sound unusual to you? A candidate respectfully asking to be voters' second choice? Now listen to one of Kaplan's opponents, Libby Schaff.
I encourage voters to learn about all the candidates because they get to cast three votes in this election. I certainly hope that I am people's first choice. If I'm not, I hope I'm their second or third choice.
Schaff ended up winning in 2014, even though less than 30% of voters listed her as their first choice. But lots of people did end up picking her second or third. Confused? If your city doesn't use ranked choice voting, which in some places is called instant runoff voting, that's understandable. So let's try and break down how it works. I called up Todd Donovan, professor of political science at Western Washington University.
It's a method where you have multi-candidates running for one office, and voters can rank their preferences, first preferred number one, next candidate number two, three, etc.
So that part is simple enough. How those votes are counted is a little more complex. If one candidate gets 50% of the vote, they win, just like normal. But if no one gets a majority, the person with the fewest first-place votes is mathematically eliminated, and the votes of everyone who voted for that person first are then reassigned to their second-choice candidates. As the count continues, each person who's eliminated has their supporters' second- or third-place votes reassigned to a candidate who's still in the running, until someone reaches 50%, a majority, and they are declared the winner.
So if you're running for office, then you might not be as prone to attack the other candidates because you want their supporters to at least put you second or third.
Donovan wanted to see if there was measurable evidence that this method of voting made the election process more civil, like it seemed to do in Oakland. He conducted a study comparing how people experienced elections in cities that did and did not use ranked choice voting.
We surveyed voters and we found that in the cities using ranked choice voting, people had more positive views of the campaign in the sense that they perceived less negativity in the rhetoric of the candidates, compared to similar voters who experienced a mayoral election using winner-take-all methods.
They found similar results for candidates they surveyed in those cities, which included Minneapolis, Cambridge, Massachusetts, and San Francisco.
They perceived to be less likely to have been attacked by their opponent compared to people who are running in winner-take-all systems.
Even more extreme than an absence of attacks, former Oakland mayor Gene Kwan was actually endorsed by a party that wasn't her own, the Green Party, as their second choice.
It, I think, allows you to go more deeply into policy issues rather than personality issues.
And in turn, Kwan endorsed her own competitors by telling her supporters specifically who she thought should be their second and third picks.
What ranked choice voting did was it allowed coalitions to build. And so I think we were fairly friendly to each other compared to maybe other campaigns.
Ranked choice voting is used in a handful of countries. In the U.S., it's only used on the city level in a few places, although the state of Maine has it on the ballot this November. So could this work on a national level? Professor Donovan says a similar voting system has been used in the small island nation of Fiji to try and heal from an ethnic conflict. The results haven't been great, though, so it might depend on whether we're more or less divided than the Fijians. For The Pulse, I'm Andrew Stelzer.